It's January the 12th, and we are in Yirmiyahu, Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23, and we're up to Pasuk Tes, verse 9. We're going to attempt to do the rest of the Perek tonight, although this is a jam-packed Perek. The Yirmiyahu is going to be focused on the false prophets, the Nevi'im, who were falsely prophesying, and that's going to be the entire focus of the Perek. Lanavim, regarding the false prophets, Nishbar libi v'kirbi, my heart is broken inside of me, Rachafu kol atzmo sai, all of my bones are shaken, are shaken. Hayisi ki'ish shikor, I am like a drunken man, uchegever avaro yayin, like a man who's had wine through him, b'vnei Hashem, b'vnei divrei kodesho, because of Hashem, and because of His holy or sanctified word, meaning that due to their behavior, the behavior of these false prophets, there is going to be such terrible punishment to them that it makes me shake all over. It makes me like a drunkard in how and my reaction to what is going to happen. Ki menafim mala haaretz, because adulterers have filled the land. Ki mipnei Allah av la haaretz, because of false oaths, using Hashem's name for an oath that is false. The whole land has turned into a land of mourning. Yavshu na'os bidbar, it's dried out the settled areas of the wilderness. Vatihi merutza samra, and their flowing is for evil, which either means that the waterways are dried up, or it means the people are running to do evil. Ugvura sam lo chein, and their strength is not appropriate. It's not what they're trying to do. Their focus is not good. Ki gam navi gam kohen chanefu, because even the leadership, even the prophets, even the kohanim chanefu, they were involved in chanifa. Chanifa means flattery, which we'll define in a moment. Gam bevesi matzasi ra'asam nu mashem, also in my house, I have found their evil, says Hashem, that even in the Beis HaMikdash they are misbehaving. Lachain yedarkam lohem kachalak lakos vaafela. Therefore, their path for them will be like a slippery path in the darkness. As Rashi explains, people trip in the darkness, even if it isn't slippery, and people trip on slippery roads, even in the light. So a slippery road in the darkness is the worst. Yidachu v'nafluva, they will be pushed and fall on this road. Ki avi alehem ra, because I'll bring upon them evil. Shnas pekudasam nu mashem, the year that they are remembered, meaning remembered for evil, says Hashem. Now, what does it mean, chanefu, to flattery? So this is an avera that we don't talk about so often, but doing chanifa, which means flattering those who are misbehaving, who are acting in an evil way, is a terrible avera. It is one of the averas for which a person can lose their portion of the world to come, for this avera, even though we don't talk about it so much. But it is a very, very terrible thing to flatter those who are doing evil. That ranges from praising those who are acting in an evil way, to befriending them, not for the purpose of trying to bring them closer to Hashem, but befriending them out of a sense of, well, since they're the movers and shakers, I want to be close to them. To giving them a yashakayach, oh, you're doing a great job. Those sorts of things, a person has to be very careful not to do chanifa, not to flatter those who are behaving in an evil way. Now, obviously, behaving in an evil way, that's a little bit vague, but we definitely have situations of people who are clearly misbehaving, and one has to be careful not to do chanifa, not to flatter them. It's one thing to befriend a person who is not behaving properly because we're trying to help them get closer to Hashem. We're trying to help them behave properly. But it's another thing entirely when our motivation for befriending them and our motivation for being close to them is more selfish. It's because it will give me some advancement. It'll make me look better. It will give me a better social standing. Those sorts of things. One has to be very, very careful about that. There is a general inclination that we all have that we want to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked by other people. That's a very, very normal thing, that people want other people to like them. And one of the most effective ways of having another person like you is by making sure they know that you approve of them. So it's very difficult when we're confronted with a person who's really misbehaving, and not to give them approval. But it is prohibited to give approval simply for, again, for social reasons, to give approval to someone who is misbehaving. That's called chanifa, and it is one of the very bad averas. A person should be aware of that. Now, as much as this entire discussion so far is very critical, and it's going to continue to be so, nevertheless, the very first pasuk we started with, pasuk test verse 9, actually has a double meaning, and the secondary meaning, or the other meaning, is the opposite of the way we explained it. We explained that Yirmiyahu is talking about the false prophets, and how I am broken when I see the terrible punishment Hashem is going to bring to them. I'm like a drunkard. My body is shaking because of Hashem, because of His Divrei Kodesh, because of His holy word. But the Gemara also says, in a completely opposite meaning, that this is also a reference to the incredible reward that Hashem is going to bestow upon the very great Nevi'im, specifically Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were totally dedicated to Hashem. And Yirmiyahu says, when I see the level of reward that they are going to get, it makes my whole body shake. It makes me as if I'm a drunkard. It's so overwhelming, the incredible reward that they will receive, the way that Hashem is going to treat them in the world to come. And so you have both extremes over here. The Yirmiyahu is saying, when I see the terrible calamity that Hashem is going to bring upon the false prophets, it makes me shudder. But also when I see the intense reward that people on the level of the Avos are going to receive, it also makes me tremble to see that incredible reward that they're going to get. So this pasuk is used both ways. Pasuk Yud Gimel verse 13. Uvin v'ei Shomron ra'isi sifla. And with the prophets of Shomron, I saw. Now here, even though it says, even though it's Yirmiyahu lived long after the northern kingdom was already taken into Galus, the 10 tribes, and Shomron was the capital of the northern, of Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom. But he's saying that when I see in my prophecy, I see that among the prophets of Shomron, I saw Tifla. Tifla here means, degraded behavior. Hinabu va Baal, they would prophesy by the Baal. The Baal meaning the Avodah Zarah, that was the idolatry that they followed. Vayas Ues Ami Es Yisrael, and they caused my nation Yisrael to go off the path. So that's what I see in prophecy, that the prophets of Shomron used to do. Unevia Yerushalayim, and in the prophets today, says Yirmiyo, of Yerushalayim, Ra'isi Sha'aru Ra, I also see a degraded behavior. Na'of v'haloch basheker. Na'of again means adultery, and to go with falsehood. V'chizku yedei mereim. And again, here's you have the chanifa, the flattery. They strengthen the hand of those performing evil. Levilti shavu ishmeira aso, that they should not return from their evil, which is one of the terrible things of flattery, because it prevents the evil person from reconsidering their ways. Hayuli chulam kisdom v'yoshvel ka'amora. They're all to me like Sodom, and they're those who dwell there like Amora. So he is invoking Sodom and Amora, which of course were destroyed in the days of Avraham Avinu. And here he's saying that the people of Yerushalayim are behaving in a similar fashion. Lachain ko'amar Hashem tzvakos. And therefore so says Hashem al hanavim regarding these false prophets. Hinani machilo sam la'ana. I am going to feed them this bitter plant, v'ishkisim me'rosh, and I'm going to give them to drink from this bitter drink. Kime'es nevi'a Yerushalayim yotza chanupa l'chol ha'aretz, because from the prophets of Yerushalayim it has come out flattery to the whole land. What they're doing is they are telling the sinners, you're doing good, you're behaving fine, Hashem loves you, don't worry about it, everything is great. And that is the main avera that they are doing. It's difficult in our generation to focus on chanifa on flattery, because one of the expressions of flattery, which Rabbi Yonah speaks about, is to not offer criticism. That the pasuk says hochiach esam yisecha, that we are required to criticize our fellow Jew for misbehaving. And when a person does not want to criticize, because the person who deserves the criticism is an important person or is a socially connected person, so I don't want to step on their toes, so that's a form of flattery, and that's a bad thing. So it's difficult to apply that in our generation, because in our generation, as we've spoken about before, people are so fragile. We're all fragile. It's all who can say they're not? And we don't take criticism well. It's very, 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 very difficult to criticize in a positive way. In a way that will yield positive results. It's very hard to do in our generation. So most of the time when we are reluctant to criticize, it's much more because we're convinced that our criticism will only make things worse rather than make things better. It's not really out of flattery, or at least it shouldn't be out of flattery. So it's a difficult thing to apply in our day and age. But at its core, the refusal to criticize also is lumped in to the general prohibition against flattering the evil people. Pasuk Tes Zion, verse 16. Ko amar Hashem tzvakos, so says Hashem. Al tishmu al divrei hanavim hanibim lachem. Now he's focusing on the people. Don't listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying for you. Mabilim hema eschem, they are confusing you. Chazon libam yedaberu, they are speaking what they see in their own hearts. In other words, their own imagination. Lo mipi Hashem, it's not from Hashem. Omrim omor limnaatsai diber Hashem. They are saying they're saying to those who are angering me, they're saying, Hashem has spoken. Shalom yelachem. It'll be shalom for you. Don't worry. Everything you're doing is fine. V'chol holich b'shirus libo amru. And to all those who are going in the wayward ways of their own heart, whatever they feel like doing, they're telling them, lo savo aleichem ra. No evil will come to you. Don't worry. You're fine. You're beautiful. You're wonderful people. You're not doing anything wrong. That's what they're telling them, when in fact the people are doing things very wrong. Kimi amad besod Hashem. Because who stands in the sod, which means the secret, which means the real word of Hashem, v'yera v'yishma estevaro, and will see and will hear his words. Who will really know the words of Hashem? Mihikshiv devaro vayishma. That's only someone who listens to his word and accepts them. Only someone who is keeping the Torah properly is a person who will really get proper nefuah, who will really get true prophecy, and you can trust that person. Hine saras Hashem chema yatzah. Behold, the tempest of Hashem, anger has come forth. Visar mischoleil, and again, this word tempest has come to dwell among the people. Arosh rishayim yachol, it will settle on the head of the evil people. Lo yashuvav Hashem, Hashem's anger will not return anasoso vanakimo mezimos libo until he does that which he is planning. In the end of days, tisbonenu vabina, then you will finally understand what Hashem is doing. In the end of days, you will see this very clearly. Lo shalachti esanavim, I didn't send these prophets. Vahim ratsu, they are the ones who ran to do what they're doing. Lo dibarti aleim, I did not speak to them. Vahim nibo, they're the ones who offered the prophecy, but I didn't say anything to them, says Hashem. Vimamdu besodi, and if they would stand in my sod, which means, again, in my secret, which means they would be within my real, what I'm really commanding. Vyashmiu devarai esami, and they would make my people know, hear my words, if that's what they would do. Vishivumi darkam hara, and take them back from their evil ways. Umeiro amal aleihem, and the evil of their actions. If that's what they should be doing, these prophets, and instead they're doing the opposite, they are encouraging bad behavior rather than trying to get the people to switch their behavior. And follow this next pasuk closely. Hayelokei mikarov ani num Hashem? Am I a God? Am I a power? From Karov, Karov means close. Am I a recent power for you, says Hashem? Solo, Elokei Meirachok, am I not a power from long ago, from far away? Am I only able to perceive things that are close to me? I can't perceive things that are far away. Are you saying that I'm too far away to know what's going on? Are you saying that I don't have the strength to deal with things that are going on in this world because I'm too distant and too removed? Is that what you're saying? Obviously a terrible, sinful thing to think, which a lot of people do think, that Hashem is distant and removed and is not involved. Hashem says, am I a power, a God that is only when I'm close, only what's close to me I deal with, but what's far away from me I don't deal with? Is that what you're saying? That is the simple way to read this pasuk in context. And also because the hey, the prefix hey in the beginning of the pasuk, right in the beginning, ha elokei mikarov, that hey is a hey hasheela. It is a rhetorical question that's being asked. Am I a God that is only close and not a God from afar? Is that what you're accusing me of? And that's what it means in context. The Medrash, though, also applies this in almost an opposite sense. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra. The Medrash applies this to words that will resonate with us. I'm only a God to those who are close to me? Am I not a God to those who are far away? Meaning, even those who are far, am I not available to them? Am I not beckoning them to come close to me? Am I only interested in those who are currently close to me? Am I not interested in those who are currently far from me? Says Hashem. No, I am interested in all Jews that they should learn my ways. Not only those who are close to me, I'm also interested in those who are currently far from me. Pasuk Chavdal, verse 24. Im yisaser ish bamistarim. If a man will hide in hidden places, vanilo erenu, and I won't see him, Nuum Hashem? Is that, are you telling me that if a person does something in a hidden and secret way, I won't know about it? Halo es ha-shamayim ve-es-haratz ani malei Nuum Hashem. But the heavens and the earth, I fill up, says Hashem. I am everywhere. This is one of the psukim from which we derive that Hashem is everywhere. Malol chol ha-aretz kevodo is what we say. Kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvokos, malol chol ha-aretz kevodo. His honor fills the world, fills the universe. That pasuk is in Yeshaya. And here we have a similar pasuk. Hashem says, the heavens and the earth I fill up, says Hashem. This pasuk has a wealth of midrashim on this pasuk. This pasuk has dozens and dozens and dozens of references in the Medrash because of this very, very important line that Hashem says, I fill the heavens and the earth. Now, there's always a question of what that means, that He fills the heavens and the earth. First of all, the way the Medrash approaches it, the Medrash says, for example, in next week's parsha, Parshas Yisro, where Hashem says to build a mishkan and I will dwell among them. I'll dwell among them. The Medrash asks the question, what do you mean I'll dwell among them? Hashem is everywhere. What do you mean I'm going to dwell among them? The Medrash over there says, Hashem is saying, I want them to get schar, I want them to get the reward of building for me a place. But really Hashem is everywhere. There's no limitation to where Hashem is. In this week's parsha, we have that the beginning of the parsha says Hashem was going before the people. Vashem holeich lifnehem, with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. The Medrash again asks the question, what do you mean Hashem is everywhere? What do you mean He's going before them? And He's not behind them? He's not everywhere? Isn't He everywhere? So the Medrash says that the Medrash says a mashal to a king who is holding a lantern in front of one of his subjects, and his servants come running over and they say, we'll hold the lantern. Why do you have to hold the lantern? And the king says, no, I'm holding the lantern not because no one else can do it. I'm doing it because I want to show how much I love this particular subject of mine. Hashem says, I'm leading them with a cloud, with a fire, because I want everyone to know the chibuv, the love I have for the Jewish people. But it's not because Hashem is limited to that particular place. Nevertheless, it's still difficult to understand exactly what it means that Hashem fills up the universe, the heavens and the earth. What does it mean He fills up the heavens and the earth? So the certainly it means His presence is felt everywhere. Certainly it means that He is aware and controlling everywhere. Specifically, what it means, my Rosh Hashiva of Weinberg Zechana Racha cautioned us against teaching children that Hashem is everywhere, because he said then a child or people start to think, oh, I'm stepping on Hashem, I'm banging on Hashem because He's everywhere, which of course is ridiculous. So it doesn't mean that Hashem is, I'm touching Hashem. Hashem doesn't have a physical form. It doesn't mean that. So there's some level of His presence, His being aware, obviously, and knowing what is going on and being actively involved. But what does it mean that He is everywhere? It does not mean that when you wave your hand in the air, you are smacking Hashem, chas v'shalom. That doesn't mean that. So a person has to be careful how far they take this idea that Hashem is everywhere. Pasuk Chav Hei, verse 25. Shamati eis asher amru hanavim hanibim bishmi sheker lemar. I heard that which the prophets were saying, the ones who were prophesying in my name falsely, saying, chalamti, chalamti, I dreamt. They're saying, I dreamt, I had this dream that Hashem said this, Hashem said that. Ad masai hayesh b'lev hanavim nibe hashakar, until when will they be saying what's in the heart of these prophets, those false prophets? Until when are they going to be doing this, saying this? Unevi'ei tarmis libam, and the prophets of that which is the imagination of their hearts. How long, when are they going to be saying, how long are they going to be doing this? Hachoshvim lahashki'ach es ami shemi, that they're trying or they're hoping to make my nation forget my name. Bachalomosam, with their dreams. Asher yesapru ish lereyehu, that each man will tell his friend. Kasher shachachu avosam es shmi babal, like their ancestors made the people forget my name with the Baal, with the Avodah Zarah, with the idolatry of the Baal. And now we have another pasuk that is, well, actually, the next two pasukim have a great deal of midrashim. Hanavi asher iton chalom yisaper chalom. A prophet that has a dream, he should say it's a dream. Meaning, it's not a prophecy. It's his own dream. There's no reality to it. He should say, I dreamt something. It's meaningless. That's what he should say. Vasher devari ito, and the one whom my word is actually with him, yidaber devari emes, he should speak my word of truth. Malateven es habar neum Hashem. What is the straw doing with the grain, says Hashem? What is the straw doing with the grain? The analogy is that these false prophets, their dreams are nothing but straw, and the grain is the true prophecy. What does the straw have to do with the grain? They're confusing the two. The Gemara tells us, Malateven es habar, the Gemara says that just as the whenever you have grain, there also is straw. The straw is the stalk of the wheat that is not edible, but the wheat grows with a stalk and then the grain, and the grain comes with the stalk, and you have to separate it and winnow it, etc. So the Gemara says, Ein chalom b'li devarim b'talim. There is no dream without things in it that are butl, that are null and void, that are not reality. Meaning that whenever there are different levels of prophecy. There is what we would call, well, we all of course know that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is in a league all its own. But let's leave that out. Let's talk about regular prophets. So there is straight prophecy that they have, and sometimes a prophet gets prophecy in their sleep. They have a dream, and that dream is prophecy. Of those dreams, there's different levels of dreams. In Maseches Brachos, there's a great deal of discussion about dreams, and the Maharsha over there discusses that there are four levels of dreams. The two extremes would be a dream that is true prophecy, it's just being done through a dream, and then the complete other extreme is the types of dreams that most of us have all the time, which are totally meaningless, have absolutely no bearing on reality whatsoever. In that discussion, so he differentiates between, for example, Yosef's dreams, where the sheaves of wheat bow down and the stars bow down, which was not a complete prophecy. They were dreams. They were not a complete prophecy. They're not characterized in the Torah as prophecy. They're characterized as dreams. But those are dreams that were rooted more in reality. Those types of dreams, even the ones that are rooted more in reality, always have something in them that is not real. That is dvarim b'talim, that is straw relative to grain. In Yosef's dream, for example, he says that Hashemesh v'hayareach v'acharasar kochavim mishtachavim li, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. The sun was Yaakov Avinu, the moon was his mother Rachel, and the 11 stars were his brothers bowing down to me. But his mother Rachel had already died. She was no longer alive. And therefore, that was dvarim b'talim, that wasn't real. And Yaakov Avinu, in fact, said that. When he was trying to make the brothers be less jealous. And he said, Havon avo ani v'imcha v'achacha l'ishtacha v'zalcha aretza. What? You think I and your mother and your brother's all going to bow down to you? Your mother's not alive anymore. Clearly that's not true. So just like that's not true, he was trying to tell the brothers, don't worry about the rest of the dream. But in fact, the rest of the dream was true. It was just that one detail that was not true, because that was the teven es habar, that was the straw relative to the grain. That's how what the Gemara says about that dream. So when it is not an actual prophecy, it is a dream, there's always going to be pieces of it that are not real. Teven es habar. But the levels of prophet, of dreams, they diminish beyond that. So then you have the dreams of Paro and the dreams of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, of the butler and the baker. Those dreams were lower than Yosef's dreams. They weren't on the same level as Yosef's dreams. They were interpreted by Yosef in a certain way, and they did come true, but they were not on the level of Yosef's dreams. They were a step down from Yosef's dreams. They weren't, Yosef's dream was close to prophecy, but not actual prophecy. Their dreams were even lower than that. Most dreams that we have, even when they feel very, very real, and we wake up and we feel that there's some sort of message going on, the vast majority of time there is no message. The vast majority of time it is completely, totally just a fictitious thing that has no basis in reality. Many times the Gemara says if a person is experiencing any kind of physical pain or emotional pain, they will have a nightmare. The nightmare will have nothing to do with their physical pain or emotional pain, but the Gemara says it's because of their physical pain. Emotional pain, it has no reality. The nightmare is totally irrelevant. They'll dream about death, they'll dream about whatever it is, and it has no basis in reality. One should not worry about that. If a person is experiencing any kind of physical or emotional pain, and then they have a dream, the Gemara says ignore it. It has no basis in reality. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to be concerned about, because it is only because they were experiencing whatever pain they had when they were awake that their brain put this in their head when they were sleeping, but there's no reality at all about it. That is the case the vast majority of the time. There may be some exceptions, most of the time, at some point in a person's life, they think they've dreamt an exception, but even when we think we're dreaming the exceptions, most of the time they're not exceptions. Most of the time they really are just products of our imagination and not real. But even when there is some reality to a dream, there's going to be some falsehood in it. It's not going to be complete, as it says over here, Mala Teven Es Habar. There's going to be straw with the grain. The Medrash also uses this for the general proper behavior, which that a person should choose their environment and their social setting carefully. Mala teven es habar. We presume that everybody wants to be the grain, which would mean a person who is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Don't hang out with the straw. Don't hang out with the amaratzim. It's not a good place to be. You want to surround yourself with the people who are going to create an environment for you that will encourage your growth, not with people who are going to pull you away from Hashem. Clearly, there is room, as we've said before, there is room to engage with people who are not growth-oriented if your goal is to get them to become growth-oriented, but one has to be very, very careful that they themselves are not dragged down by the other person or people. It's rather the other way around, that we are helping them come closer to Hashem. Then that would be an acceptable connection. Pasuk Chav Tes, verse 29. Halo cho devari ka'esh nu'um Hashem. Hashem says, my words are like fire, says Hashem. Uche patish yafotzeitz sala. And like a patish is a mallet, a hammer, yafotzeitz sala, that smashes stone. Now there's two ways of reading this. You can read it that it is the hammer that smashes this stone, or you can read it that it is the hammer gets smashed on the stone. When you hit the stone with the hammer, it is the hammer that shatters. There's a Tisus based on a Gemara that reads it the other way around, that it is the hammer that is smashed when it hits the stone. So what is this referring to? My word is like fire, says Hashem. So there are many, many points derived from this pasuk. So, well, let me try to see if I can at least piece together the ones that I saw that are in the Gemaras. First of all, the Gemara says Hashem's word is like fire. Fire cannot become tame. Fire is not an object that it becomes tame. Fire just is. So the Gemara says, Divrei Torah are not mekablim tuma. They do not become tame. What is that relevant to? A person who is tame is permitted to study Torah. One should not think that if they are tame, somehow they're not allowed to be engaged in the study of Torah. The Gemara says it is not true. Hashem's word is like fire, and therefore a person, even if they are tame, is always allowed to be engaged in Torah. There are other things that we are precluded from doing if we are tame, like going into the Beis HaMikdash, but the study of Torah is not precluded. The study of Torah is like fire, and therefore a person who is tame can study the Torah. The Gemara says that fire does not burn well when you only have one wick. A candle with one wick, it's a very, very delicate fire, can easily go out. When there's two wicks, then it burns very, 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 very strongly, very well, and it's much more powerful. Says the Gemara, Torah really does not do well when a person is studying all by themselves. That the chavrusa system is the way that Torah thrives. When you have two people who are studying together, and that they bounce the Torah one off of the other, and that's how it grows and builds and becomes a fire. That's how it becomes a powerful force. The Gemara also says, there's a third thing about the fire, which escapes me right now, but hopefully I'll remember before we finish this discussion. I'll move on now to the hammer and the stone. The Gemara says that the words of Hashem are like a hammer that is either smashed by the stone or smashes the stone, and therefore there are many explanations to one passage. There's the Torah can be explained in b'shivim panim la Torah. There's 70 ways of understanding different psukim of the Torah. That does not affect the bottom line halacha, but in terms of the lessons and how we understand the Torah, there are 70 ways of looking at every part of the Torah, and it is like patish yefotzei tzala. It is like when you have either the stone or the hammer smashing to smithereens, like flying in all directions. So that is the way the Torah happens sometimes. That you can have many, many, many different explanations for one pasuk. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham has to be strong or tough, like a hammer that smashes the stone, that he cannot compromise on the Torah. Meaning that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, if he wants the title of Torah scholar, has to stand up for the truth of the Torah and cannot allow there to be falsehood. If someone puts forth a suggestion how to read something which is false, the Talmud Chacham must stand up for the veracity of the Torah and make it clear that there is a truth and there is a falsehood. And he has to be tough in that way, strong in that way, to stand up to that kind of attack on the integrity of the Torah. Okay, we'll move on from this pasuk. There is more. There is more on this pasuk. Perhaps I'll remember more before we finish our learning tonight. But this, as I said, this pasuk is just there are so many midrashim about this particular pasuk and the analogy of the fire and the analogy of the hammer smashing against the stone.
Can water become tummy?
The question is, can water become tummy? Yes, water can become tummy. Not a mikvah. Mikvah cannot become tummy, but water can. A drink of water could become tummy. Yeah. Pasuk Pasuk Lamed verse 30. Lachain, therefore, Hinani ala nevi'im num Hashem. Behold, I am against those false prophets, says Hashem. Meganvei devarai, those who steal my words, ish me'es re'ehu, each man from his friend. What does that mean, they steal my words? The Rashi explains over here, based on the Medrash, and based on a story which we will have later on in Yirmiyahu, that the false prophets, they had a method to their madness. They had a system. How does a person manage to trick people into thinking that they are actually a true prophet when they're really false? And one of the ways they did it is, they would hang around the true prophets to listen to the way that they would say things. They would pick up the language, the syntax of the true prophets, and then they would mimic that in their false prophecy. They would talk in ways that made them sound authentic. And therefore, it was meganvei devarai, stealing my words. That's what they would do. They would hear the way that Yirmiyahu would speak, and then they would say similar words, but with the opposite message. And that was one of the ways that they tricked people. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, 31. Hinani ala nevi'im num Hashem, behold, I am against those prophets, says Hashem. Halokchim lashonam, again, the same idea, taking their tongues, taking their language. Vayin amu nu'um, and then they're saying things. They're claiming to be quoting from me. Hinani al nebiyei halomos sheker num Hashem. Behold, I am against those who are prophesying with false dreams, says Hashem. Vayesaprum, and they tell them over. Vayasu asami, and they mislead my nation. Bishikrehem uvefachazusam, with their falsehood and their pachazusam, which is that's like pachaz kamayim. It means to be impetuous. V'anochi lo shilachtim, I didn't send them. V'lo tzivisim, I didn't command them. V'ho'el lo yo'ilu lo'am hazeh, and they are not going to help this nation. Num Hashem, says Hashem. V'chin yisholcha ha'am hazeh, o anavi, o chohen lemar, and when this nation, or this false prophet, or this Kohen who's not acting properly, when they will ask you, saying, Ma Masa Hashem, what is the Masa of Hashem? I'm going to translate that in a minute. What is the Masa of Hashem? V'amar talim, you should say to them, Es Ma Masa, what is the Masa? V'natashti eschem num Hashem, I am going to scatter you, or I'm going to dismiss you, says Hashem. The word Masa can mean a prophecy. It's one of the terms that means a prophecy. But Masa means a burden. That's what it literally means. So it can also mean a prophecy, because it's like a Navi receives this prophecy from Hashem. It's like he's carrying a prophecy, and then he or she gives it over to the people. But Masa can also mean a burden. In this case, in the first way that it's being used in the pejorative sense. It is when they will say to you, what's this Masa of Hashem, this burden? They're speaking of it in a negative way. When they will say to you, Yirmiyahu, what is this Masa that you have? They're speaking in a disparaging manner, in a mocking way to Yirmiyahu. They're saying, oh, what's this Masa of yours? You should say to them, you want to know what my Masa is? Hashem says, I'm going to scatter you, I'm going to destroy you, says Hashem. V'anavi v'hakoin v'ha'am, Lamed Aleph 34. And the prophet and the Kohen and the nation, Asher Yomar Masa Hashem, they're going to say, this Masa of Hashem, ufakanati alo ishahu v'albeso, I will then visit upon that man and on his family, I will punish them for his referring to true prophecy as a burden, as a Masa. Kosomru ish al re'ehu, or el re'ehu, v'ish, it must be al re'ehu v'ish el achiv, so you should say, each man to his friend and each man to his brother, Or this is what they say. This is what each man says to his friend, each man says to his brother. Me'ana Hashem u'madiber Hashem. What did Hashem say? What did Hashem call out? That's what they should be saying. They should be coming to you to ask, what did Hashem say? What did Hashem call out? What is the word of Hashem? That's what they should be doing. U'masa Hashem lo sizkiru od. But do not mention the masa of Hashem. Now, there's a few ways of reading this pasuk. It's a difficult pasuk to translate. The one way is to continue in the vein we were just saying. Don't say masa of Hashem. You false prophets, you people who are misbehaving. Don't refer to it as a burden. Rather say on it, sincerely, what did Hashem say to you, Yirmiyahu? What is Hashem calling out? We want to know. Don't call it a masa. Because the masa will be each man for his word, meaning by speaking that way. You have turned, you have flipped over the words of the living God, Hashem Tzvakos Elokeinu, because you have said false prophecy. You're the ones who are saying something that is a burden. Yirmiyahu is not. Yirmiyahu is saying the real, true word of Hashem. You are saying that which is a burden. But the other way of reading it is to continue in the previous point we were saying, that the prophets would take their signon, they would take their phrases from the true prophets. So Hashem is saying to those false prophets, Masa Hashem lo sizkiru od, don't anymore quote the true prophecy of Hashem, the Masa of Hashem. Ki Hamasa Yiel Ish Devaro, because the masa would be for each man for his words, they should be said properly, but instead, you are turning it over, you are saying false things from Hashem instead of true things from Hashem. So either this pasuk is continuing in the way that they are mocking the true prophecy by calling it a burden, or this pasuk is continuing with the idea that they are stealing the phrases of the true prophets and using them for falsehood. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, verse 39. Ko somar el anavi, this is what you should say to the prophet. Me'anach Hashem, umadi ber Hashem. This is what you really should be saying, like we said before. You should be saying, what did Hashem call out to you? What did Hashem speak to you? Vim masa Hashem tomeru, and if you say masa, in other words, you'll say it's a burden, or if you will use the phrases that the Navi is using, Lachin Koamar Hashem, therefore so says Hashem, Yan Amorchem Es Hadavar Hazem Masa Hashem, because you are saying, again we're going to read this two ways, because you are saying that the words of Hashem are a burden, or because you are saying words using the same phrases as the prophecy of Hashem, V'ashlach Aleichem Lemar, and I've sent to you saying, Lo Somru Masa Hashem, you should not say. Again, two ways of reading it. You should not say it's a burden, or you should not use the phrases of the true Navi. L'chein hinini v'nashisi eschem na show. And therefore, behold, I am here, and I'm going to destroy you. V'natashti eschem v'esoyir asher nasati lachem v'laboseichem me'al ponai, and I will throw you away, and the city that I gave to you and to your ancestors from upon me, I will throw it away. V'nasati aleichem cherpas olam, and I'll put on you shame forever. Uchlimos, uchlimus olam, and another word for shame forever. Ashalos yishacheach, which will never be forgotten. That's going to be the punishment for these false prophets. Going back to Chavtas 29, another thing that the Gemara says from here, that Hashem's words are like fire. The Gemara says, the Eish Shel Gehenim, the fire of Gehenim, is not sholet on Talmidei Chachamim. It does not have an effect on Torah scholars. Why? Because Torah scholars are studying Torah, which is itself fire. And the fire of the Torah protects them from the fire of Gehenim, of whatever that means, of the punishment of Gehenim. So there is some sort of protection that the Torah provides from the fire of Gehenim. That is another thing that is learned from here. There was one more Gemara about the patish shifotzed sela of the hammer and smashing with the rock, and it escapes me right now what that was. So I'm going to have to leave that. I can't remember now what that was. But as I mentioned, there's a lot that is said about that phrase. Now, we've discussed false prophets many, many times. We've talked about how, and many of you have asked this question, that it just seems funny a person would be a false prophet. They know they're saying falsehood, and they're doing it anyway, and they're claiming it's from Hashem. But what we talked about before is that it gives a person a lot of power, a lot of status to say false prophecy. But the truth is that we have it, falsehood is all over the place. We have it in our day and age as well. People say things that are false, they know are false, they say them anyway, because it gives them status, it gives them stature, and people will do it anyway. And even if it's falsehood, sometimes people will say things that they get caught in their lie later, and you wonder, like, didn't they realize they were going to get caught in their lie? Didn't they realize that they couldn't hold it together? But the thing is that the allure of power and the allure of standing, it's very, very powerful. People want that. And even if it's something that will eventually, they'll get snared, ensnared in their own words, but people do it. And in their day, the way you did it was to claim to be a prophet. That was the most effective way of getting that stature, of getting that status that they were looking for. Again, as we mentioned in the past, it's particularly bad, the false prophets, because, as we mentioned, it wasn't like someone could just step forward, you know, off the street and say, I'm a prophet. They also knew what a prophet was supposed to look like. They knew how a prophet was supposed to behave. So someone who was not a refined person, it would be difficult for them to pass themselves off as a false prophet. The false prophet did have to have some of the trappings that made them appear sort of like the real prophets. So you're dealing with people who were refined in some way, who did have some connection that they could have done better. And most of the time, a false prophet was someone who was on the path to becoming either a prophet or someone close to being a prophet, and then they kind of veered off the path. And that would be the person who would become a false prophet. That would, most of the time, that's where it would come from. So it's particularly bad, but you see that the main avera that they have is that they're misleading the people. They're leading the people away from Hashem instead of towards Hashem. And that was why there's such a focus on Hanifa over here, of encouraging bad behavior instead of discouraging bad behavior. Okay, we will stop here for tonight.